Praise the Lord. Well, open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter, beginning to read at the 14th verse. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. And he, that is Jesus, was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. A person was brought to Jesus this day, both blind and dumb. The passage that's recorded in Matthew declares that he was both blind and dumb. Now, when we read the word dumb in the New Testament, it means literally unable to speak. We use the word dumb today in our colloquial expressions, and we attribute it to mentality, stupidity. That's not what was happening here. This person could not speak. He was blind and he was dumb. As Jesus cast the demon out of him, he was able to speak, and the people wondered about it. Jesus delivered and healed this man from demonic bondage. Matthew records that he was possessed by the devil. Now, it's interesting, the reaction of the Pharisees that day, and the religious leaders of that day, when they saw the wonderful power of God, they declared, it must be the devil at work. Do you ever stop to think why they asked that, and why they made that statement? When they saw this man miraculously delivered from his blindness and his deafness, or his dumbness rather, and he was able to speak, they declared that it must be the devil's work. Apparently, they had never seen the effective ministry of the power of God. They had never seen God's power at work. And when they saw something super spectacular, supernatural of the Spirit, never having seen God's power working, they declared that it must be the power of the devil. Hasn't changed much from then to now, has it? It's the same kind of a situation today. It seems that so many people, even God's people, when they see the wonderful working of God's power, when they see an effective supernatural ministry of the Spirit of God, having never seen the Spirit of God work in that way before, they declare, since they have never seen it, that it must be the devil. How many times have you heard that? Now, most of God's people have never seen the effectual ministry of God's power, of the power of God's Spirit, because they have never stood upon, believed in, and acted upon the Word of God. Because the Word of God will work for any man that will stand upon it and act upon it. God's Word works. It will always work. And it'll work for you as easy as it works for me, and it'll work for you and me as easily as it worked for Jesus. Because Jesus ministered as a spirit-filled man on this earth. And he ministered in accordance with the Word of God. Okay? It's amazing to me how many of God's people think today that the devil has more power than Jesus. Anytime something supernatural happens, something wonderful and miraculous, rather than attributing it to the Lord Jesus, they attribute it to the devil because they've never seen Jesus do anything like that. And the net result of that is that so many in the church of Jesus Christ believe that the devil has more power than Jesus does. Now, he doesn't. Jesus Christ is the Lord, not the devil. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, not the devil. And I don't care what the devil is saying, and I don't care who he's saying it through, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. Amen. The devil does not have more power than Jesus does. No way, it doesn't work that way. Look at verse 21. Jesus said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Now Jesus is talking about the devil here. He has declared when they accused him of ministering and casting out devils by the prince of devils, and that's who this man Beelzebub is a prince of demons. And they accused him of casting out devils using the devil's power. And Jesus said, well, first of all, if I was using the devil's power, then that's a kingdom divided against itself and it can't stand. And he went on to give them a couple of additional arguments. And then he said in the 20th verse, but if I by the finger of God, and Matthew records by the Spirit of God, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God or by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is in your midst. And what you've been looking for all these many hundreds of years, and what the prophets have prophesied about concerning the coming of the Messiah and the coming of the kingdom of God, for goodness sake, men, it's here. I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. And if that's the case, the kingdom of God is upon you. That's what Jesus said. Then he declared, he said, now listen, when a strong man armed, in other words, fully armed, keepeth his house or his palace, his goods are secure. He's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan as the strong man. He says when Satan is at peace in his house, when he still has his armor, when he still has his power, and he still has his authority, and he still has his position, he is able to keep his property intact, secure. But you say, now where did Satan get his power? Where did he get his authority? Where did he get his position? Where did he get his armor? He got it from Adam. You remember that in the book of Genesis, Adam gave it to him. He gave him dominion and authority and power in the earth. Jesus said, as long as he has that, he can keep under his control everything he's got a hold of. He can keep his house under control. He can rule men. He can keep their hearts and their minds in bondage. He can keep them cowed down by his lies and by his influence. He was dominant in the world. He held his house in security. He could hold men in sickness and in poverty and in bondage, and he could hold them in a separated condition from God because of their sin. Satan had that power. But one night, in a little town outside Jerusalem, there was a little baby that was born in a stable. He's like any other baby, except the Bible says that as he grew, he waxed strong in spirit. He waxed strong in spirit. He was not under the dominion of Satan. He was not under his power or under his bondage. He was not a house in which Satan lived. He grew strong in his spirit. And one day that man stepped into the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptized him. And the heavens opened up and spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit of the living God descended in the bodily shape of a dove and lighted upon him. And as he came up out of the water, he came up a stronger man. No longer was the devil the strong man. Jesus came out of that water a stronger man. And Jesus said, when a stronger than he cometh and overcome him, something's going to happen. And something did happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came into town this day, and there was a house there that was blind and dumb. The man couldn't see and he couldn't speak. And in the scripture, over and over again, a man's body is referred to as a house for wicked spirits. That day he came upon this man, they brought him to him. And up until that day, there was not a man found who was strong enough to come into that house and drive out that strong man. But that day, a stronger than he had come, Jesus of Nazareth. And he came and overtook him and overcame him. And by the Spirit of God, he drove that evil spirit out and sent him on his way. Look at the 22nd verse. When a stronger than he shall come upon him, that is the devil, the strong man, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Everywhere he encountered one of the devil's palaces, he overcame him. He went in and stripped him of his armor and destroyed him, threw him out, took the spoils of Satan and divided them. Now there's a twofold message I want us to get here this morning. First of all, you might ask, well, how did Jesus really do this? How did he ultimately overcome the devil? He did it by his death. In the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter of Hebrews, in the 14th verse, Paul writes, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, that is Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." By his death, Jesus destroyed the one that had the power of death. Satan is no longer the strong man. When Jesus died, when he went into the pits of hell, as he was born again by the power of God, as he stripped the keys of authority from Satan, as he came out of the grave that day, he spoke to the women along the road to Jerusalem and he said, "All hail. All hail." He said, "All hail." Because he had won. He was the stronger one. He was the one that had gone into the safe, secure, deep places where Satan and his host abode. And he stripped him. Now, this word that's here in the scripture that we read this morning, spoils, this word spoils, has the connotation of something which is stripped like a hide. Jesus took the armor of Satan and his authority and stripped it off of him like you'd strip the hide off an animal. And then he took it and divided it. Now, who'd he divide it to? He divided it to you. And he divided it to you. And he divided it to you. And he divided it to me. Jesus did not need to do all that for himself. He already was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He already was the only begotten Son of God the Father. He did it for you. He did it for me. He took the armor in which Satan had trusted. He took the things that Satan had trusted for his power and his authority. He took it and stripped it from him and he gave it to you. So that now the authority that Satan used to have, you have. And the power that Satan used to have, you have. Now I want you to understand what I'm saying here. The most important thing I'm going to say this morning, I'm saying right now. Satan is a powerless, defeated, paralyzed foe. He is still your enemy, but he has no power. No authority, it belongs to you and to me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. You might as well say amen. Because it's so. It belongs to you, and it belongs to me, and it belongs to everyone who is a born-again child of God. It belongs to everyone who has come into fellowship with God, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That power and that authority that Satan used to have, he doesn't have anymore. It's yours. And it's mine. Now you say, but Vic, if that's true, if Jesus is the stronger one, and if he has made us the stronger one, then why is the world in such a mess? Why is there so much sickness and so much poverty? Why is there so much pain and so much trouble? Even within God's people, why is that? Is it because Jesus didn't do a complete job? Is it because he only did half the work and then he gave up? Is it because he tried and he was not big enough or not able to do a complete job? No. No. No, it wasn't. It's because we have not done the complete job. In the book of Hebrews again, the 10th chapter, beginning to read in verse 12. But this man, that is Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. All right, what do you do when you sit down? You're finished with your work. Jesus rested at the right hand of God the Father. That's where he is today. He is seated there because his work's finished. He did it on Calvary and those few days that followed. The work of Jesus is done. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now the Bible teaches us that Jesus went to sit at the right hand of God the Father, and at that time all of his enemies were not yet made his footstool. But if Jesus Christ did a complete and thorough job in defeating and rendering powerless the enemy, who is to do the work of making his enemies his footstool? Who's going to do that? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting until that day when all of his enemies will be made a footstool and be put under his feet where he can just rest them on. Now, who's going to do that? You and me, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his body, is to do the work of making his enemies a footstool for Jesus. That's part of the work of the church of Jesus Christ. To bring all of these things into subjection. Now, I said to you before, and I want to clarify this so that nobody misunderstands it, that Jesus did a complete job and he stripped the enemy of all of his armor. He took his power and his authority and his position in the earth, and he gave it to his church. At the same time, Satan still troubles the church. Satan still troubles the people of God. And we need to know how he does that. He does it simply by stealing the power that you have. He does not have any power of his own. He steals what you have and uses it against you. That's the way he works. He takes what is rightfully yours and he turns it against you. And he destroys and kills and steals by lies and by deceit and by bluff. Now, when you and I and each of us in the body of Jesus Christ realize what Jesus did, I mean get it here, down here, and know that we are to rule and reign in the earth. We are to stand in the earth. We are the light of the world. We have been given the keys of the kingdom. Jesus said, unto the church I give the keys of the kingdom, and who? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It belongs to the church. Our work is to make his enemies a footstool for him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Satan has no power of his own. He's got no authority of his own. He has been rendered powerless by what Jesus did before he rose from the dead. Now, you can either believe it or not believe it, because it's so. It's what the Bible says. That's what God said. And if he said it, I believe it. And that settles it. And I'm going to learn how to make that real in my life. And I want you, and God wants us, to learn how to make it real in our lives so that we can do the works of Jesus. Jesus said, when one that is stronger than he comes along and overcomes him, he takes his armor and strips him of his spoils. Not only is Jesus stronger than strong, but if we are his body, we also are stronger than strong. And when we come upon one of Satan's houses, when we come upon one of his abodes, now you don't have to go looking for him. You just go proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you'll find out where he's living. You'll find out right quick where he's living. You and me and the church of Jesus Christ are stronger than any armory that Satan has set up. Stronger than in any life where Satan has encircled that person with his bondage. The church of Jesus Christ is sent to set those people at liberty, to deliver those people who are bound. We talked about that some last week. That's our work. We are stronger than strong. That's what the Bible means when John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You and Jesus are a majority. You and Jesus are the strongest force that's on the earth. You and Jesus and his name have the power and authority over every bastion that Satan has ever set up. And I don't care whether that's your husband or your wife, or it's in your child, or in your home, or in your business. I don't care where it is. You are stronger than strong. Take the authority of the name of Jesus. Take the power of his Spirit. And by the Spirit of the living God, do not fear to go into that stronghold and take what belongs to God. Take it. And make that enemy a footstool for the feet of our master. That's what we're to do. That's our work. That's what he's called us to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we acknowledge that sometimes it's difficult because we have fought with our minds in the natural for so long. But sometimes it's difficult for us to really get it through our thick heads, what you've done for us. And sometimes it's hard to get by our mind and our reasoning who we are in Jesus Christ and what it really means to be a Christian, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a Spirit-filled warrior. But Father, we trust you to take this word that's proclaimed this morning, to take it and to minister it to our spirits, at the same time cause our mind to be renewed on the Word of God, that we might truly know who we are in Christ Jesus, and we might know that promise that, behold, all things are new, that the old has passed away. The old weak, sin-dominated, sickness-filled, fearful person is dead. And that we have been crucified with Jesus Christ, and in the place of that comes a new life. And that in that new life, we are going to reign with you. Nay, not will reign, do reign. We today reign in life by Christ Jesus. Father, make that truth so real make that so vital in our lives that we might truly be found worthy of that mission you've given us to make the enemies of God a footstool for our Lord and Master Jesus. Lord, we want you to use us in that way. We want to be used in that ministry. And we yield ourselves to you for that purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I don't know if this is doing you any good this morning, but it's sure doing me a lot of good. I tell you, when you know, as these truths come up in my spirit, it just, there's just a strength there and a joy to know that we serve a powerful, living Lord. It seems that most of the Lord's people have Jesus pictured as a meek, mild-mannered boy reporter, so to speak. Remember the old Superman shows? Meek, mild-mannered Clark Kent, reporter of the Daily Chronicle or whatever it was. But then you'd see him go into the phone booth and off would come his clothes. And his chest would puff out about this big. And those muscles would start to bulge. And he'd go out to wage war against the enemies of all that was good. Well, I hope the Lord won't mind me using that analogy today. But he intends for us to be that way too. Meek, mild-mannered boy reporters for the Daily Chronicle. But when we have come out of the closet with Jesus, when we have thrown off that old man that's bound down by tradition and bound down by what other people think we ought to be, and we see the robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ has put on us, and when we see the garments of salvation that He's clothed us with, and when we begin to realize that He hath clothed us with power from on high, we come roaring out of that prayer closet in the power of the Spirit of God, ready to do battle against all of the enemies of our Lord. Every day. Every day. That's the work of the church. And I guarantee you that if you will each look upon your ministry in that way and do that, the work that God has given us to do here in this place will just begin to multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. And there won't be a day go by that somebody in this county doesn't find Jesus as Lord and Savior. And there won't be a day that goes by that someone will not be set free from the powers of hell in this county. You want to do the works of Jesus. That's what the Lord's been trying to tell us for the last several weeks now. That's what He's trying to minister to us. So I just encourage you to receive it. Praise God. James, would you come and let's sing about some of that blessed assurance, huh?
Stand, please. Hymn number 67.
Praising my Savior.
Well, let's make a good confession. Let's make a good, you ready to make a good confession? Good confession. I'm a new creature.
I'm a new creature.
Because I'm in Christ Jesus.
Because I'm in Christ Jesus.
And because of what he did,
because of what he did,
I have power in my life.
I have power in my life.
And I'm stronger than the strong man.
I'm stronger than the strong man.
In the name of my Savior Jesus.
In the name of my Savior Jesus.
And whenever I encounter that devil, I'll drive him out.
I'll drive him out.
By the Spirit of God.
By the Spirit of God.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
And God will use me.
And God will use me.
To set the captives free.
To set the captives free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Just give the Lord a clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know the Bible says that confession is good for the soul. Most people don't understand what kind of confession they're talking about. It's a good, positive confession that's good for the soul. You confess who you are in Christ Jesus, and the power of God just begin to rise up on the inside of you. Confession is good for the soul. Have a right confession. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've taught us today. Thank you for the privilege of coming together to worship you and to praise you, to have fellowship in the Spirit, to have fellowship with the saints of God. Lord, just continue to use us in the ministry of the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.